Small statement to the third parak of Avos. So, every employee has to be responsive to the supervisor, in this case, administration. So, hopefully, we'll be able to discern something very fascinating about Chitas HaRambam and Ilanos in general. But to begin with the Mishnah that you're all familiar with, Arba Rosh Hashanim Him, Bechad Benisan, Rosh Hashanah Lamlachim, Lurigalim, Bechad Bela Rosh Hashanah Lamaiser, Behema, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Bechad Betishrei, Bechad Betishrei, Rosh Hashanah Lashanah Lashmitim, Leyovlos, Lenatil Yerakos, Bechad Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah Leilan, Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omrim, Bechamisha Asarbo. Siva Machokis, Tanoim, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. What is the Rosh Hashanah Lila notes? What we're really talking about is the din of Maiser Peros. The Torah says in a Midaraisa, we know that there's Maser Degancha Tirosh Chavitz Arecha. So at least with respect to Tirosh Chavitz Arecha, and then maybe Midarabanan for other Peros Ha'ilan. So the question is, you know, how do you mark the year? Aser to Aser, you have to always take Maiser Hayutea Sadeh Shana Shana. On an annual basis. So the question is, what is the cutoff for Maiser Ilanos? So Beis Shammai would say Echad Bishvat, and Beis Hillel say Tu Bishvat. But the Chiddush here is, of course, that you don't follow, you know, the pre being on the tree by Tu Bishvat, but as everybody knows, Mark, what's the cutoff point? Tu Bishvat, if you pass like Beis Hillel, as we do, what are we looking for? We'll come back to this idea, but it's very suggestive. Not even Hava Shlish, but go ahead, Nachum. Basar Chanata, just the first blossoms, which is a little strange, right? It'd be easier just to say, you know, if the Pri has grown by Tu B'Shvat, it belonged to the previous year. After Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to the next year. So I'd like to come back to that idea at the end of this year. Obviously, this isn't the only halacha, or even... you know, one of just a few halachos about Ilanos, time permitting, you know, we would do this much more extensively, but let's try to develop a certain idea here. Okay, so Alex, why don't you read for us from Parsha Shoftim? This is where I'd like to begin my presentation of the special Ma'amad of Tu Bishvat. Certainly today we're not going to say Tachanun. Yesterday we had the question, the machlokas between the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim. But Alex, go ahead. Ki tzatzur alir yamim rabim. So the siege is dragging on, and you'd like to use every advantage you possibly have to bring the city to its knees. Somewhat ambiguous pasuk, but what's not ambiguous is that there's an iser daraisa of hashchasas ha'etz lindoach alav garzen kimimenu tochel ve'oso lo sichros, and now we have this ambiguous line ki ha'adam etz hasadeh. It's either an interrogative, Rashi says lashon dilma, or it's some kind of a statement that there's a basic equivalency. Which I'd like to explore between Adam and Eitz HaSadeh. So even as you're involved in a destructive act, you're besieging a city, you're going to war, nonetheless, there's certain rules of engagement, and one of them is, as far as an Eitz Machal is concerned, Oso Lo Sechros Ki HaAdam Eitz HaSadeh. It has something to do with humanity. Rak Eitz HaSher Teda Ki Lo Eitz Ma'achal Hu. As long as it's not a fruit-bearing tree, oso sashchis v'charata, that you can cut down, uvanisa matzora la'ir asher hi osayi mecham milchama ad ridata, right, you can clear out the way and build a dike up to the city for purposes of its destruction. So this is remarkable irony that appears to emerge from these psukim, is that even in the midst of a totally destructive scenario, ki tatsur la'ir yamim rabim, right, and the Torah says, asher hi osayi mecham milchama ad ridata, you're about to completely subjugate the city, Mekach Kesef Shtar Ubiya Bam Biisha Tarid, right? Ad Ridita, right? A form of subjugation and conquest. We draw the line at Eitz Machal. So let's take a look at the Rambam, first in the Sefer Mitzvos and then the Mishnah Torah, and you'll see that the Rambam seems to have evolved, his position has evolved between the Sefer Mitzvos and the Mishnah Torah, but I have a very strong... strongly felt view that I'd like to share with you today if we're already talking about Tu Bishvat and Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. Okay, so Rafi, why don't you take the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then Akiva Stern, why don't you take the Mishnah Torah? So remarkable. So the Rambam is already adding in, right? What, you're not allowed to destroy the Ilanot in the context of the siege. That's from the Psukim. What's the Rambam's Chiddush here? For the sake of... Exactly right. Ulahachiv levavam. Because this would cause them, almost sounds like emotional or psychological distress, not just the practical distress of their trees being cut down, but ulahachiv levavam. I'm fascinated by that. Lo sichros. V'chein, the Rambam says, but it's not really just about trees. No, this is a hefseid, we're not eulogizing the trees. Hinehu over. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like the Rambam thinks you get Malkos midaraisa for destroying anything wantonly, burning a shirt, even if the player left in free agency, you still can't burn his shirt. That could be an iser daraisa, and there'd be Malkos involved, etc. Uvisov Gemara Malkos Yisbar Shakotes Ilanos Tovos Loke V'Amaro, and Gemara says their quote V'Az Harase Mehacha Kimi Menu Sochel V'Oso Lo Sichros. It's an iser daraisa. And this is dealt with in Masachas Bava Basra. Okay, very good. So the Rambam here says two things that I'd like to highlight. That the cutting down of trees causes tsa'ar to people and ke'ev lev, number one. And number two, that the Torah just really gave an example of cutting down a fruit tree, but it applies much more broadly to destroying anything wantonly, whether it's burning a shirt or destroying a kli. Okay, now the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, Akiva Shturm. Right, doesn't necessarily mean chopping it down with an axe, even though that's what the Torah said, but causing it to dry out and die. Exactly. That's Malkos Midaraisa. And don't take the scenario that the Torah gave is only a hechitimtzi. It's only a scenario of a siege. Ella. If it's wanton, again, derech hashchasa. Aval kotzitzinoso. Right, it's a danger to other trees. Or it's causing property damage in general. Right, the Torah was only concerned about, literally, derech hashchasa, wanton, brazen, unjustified destruction. It's interesting. You remember the Noda Bihuda as a tshuva, where he talks about, yes, if you need to chop it down, you chop it down because it's causing destruction, but you should always plant another one. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, but the Mechayev is Derech Hashcha, so we get it. V'lo ha'ilanos bovad. So again, breaking Kalim, we had that in the Sefer Mitzvos, tearing clothes, we had that, destroying a building. Visose ma'ayan, or stopping up a natural spring of water, or wasting food. So what's shifted in the Rambam here between the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Mishnah Torah, Yoni? He makes one adjustment. The Isser is still Daraisa, but the Malkos is only Makas Mardis, Malkos Midirabanan. So here you have this, I think, absolutely remarkable idea, which is that the Torah, of course, wanted to prohibit, acting destructively, bal tashchis in the broadest sense of the term. And yet, of all examples that the Torah chose, the Torah could have chosen any example it wanted, but Tani, which example did the Torah choose when they want to say, what's the paradigm of a destructive act, of a wanton, brazen, destructive act, is to destroy an Eitz Machal. And according to the Rambam sheet in the Mishnah Torah, if not in the Sefer Mitzvos, that's actually the only time that you would get Malkos Daraisa, right? Which is an amazing thing. That it's not just that the Torah picked the example par excellence, this horrible thing to do of cutting down an Eitz Machal, but it could be that that's treated differently, lahalacha, in terms of Malkos Midaraisa versus Malkos Dirabanan. So we never want to be wasteful. We have to appreciate everything around us. But the idea of attacking an Eitz Machal is apparently, according to the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah, a different category. Now, why might that be the case? You know, you might say something like the Rambam himself said, this time in the Sefer HaMitzvos, of the Ke'ev Lev, that there's a certain pain which is caused by seeing a fruit tree cut down. You are all familiar with the expression tree huggers? Anybody here know what a tree hugger is? What's a tree hugger? You don't know? A literal tree hugger. Yeah, but why were they hugging trees?
They love the trees. People wouldn't cut them down.
So people wouldn't cut them down. Exactly right. I mean, we're all tree huggers in our religion. So, you know, they would literally put their body in front of the tree, because to see a tree cut down, an Eitz Machal that has the capacity to sustain life, it causes, as the Rambam says, ulahachiv livavam. So that's something I want to try to develop as we go further. This is, I think, all part of what the Torah had in mind. Ki ha'adam Eitz ha'sadeh. There's a profound emotional connection between all of us and Eitz Machal. Now, I'd like to prove this through the Rambam's presentation of a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, in conjunction with a Gemara, I believe it's on Daf Samach, if I remember correctly. But you'll point out how the Rambam, through his organization of two different halachos, I think really highlights again ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, a profound connection between humanity and trees. So this one's for you, Avram Yaakov Gelman. Haroa brios nos and misukanos bioser. You see beautiful people. You know, that is a category. And lo and behold, or beautiful trees, right? Not apparently beautiful buildings, as our president would love, he says. Yeah. Or beautiful walls. But ilanos tovos, right? Beautiful trees and beautiful people. Mivarech. Right? Brachat Hashem Elohim, shekach halo be'olamo. Interesting. It's a halos in halacha that, what do we equate? Brios tovos and ilanos tovos. But just in case that wasn't good enough for you, here's the coup de grace for the Rambam.
Leginos,
gardens. So this is the famous Birkas Ha'ilanos, Shalo, that God has made a complete world. So what's a little strange about this Nusach HaBracha? Nachum, what jumps out to you about it? You see the trees, and all of a sudden, you're making a Birkas Shavach V'Hodah on not just the trees, right? It doesn't just say Ilanos Tovos, right? The world at large, especially in the Lehenos Bahen B'nei Adam, is that we can't talk about the trees without talking about the people. We can't talk about the people without talking about the trees. Brios Tovos, Ilanos Tovos, et Shekach Alo Be'olamo. And then the Birchas HaIlanos in Nisan, when you have the Nisan in Nisan. So, you know, what do we make the bracha on? What a great world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, especially the Eitzim that we have, Ilanos Tovos V'Naos Kidei Lehenos Bahen B'nei Adam, because we recognize Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh, that we're sustained by these, and that's a second level of connection. So we have the Rambam's Ke'ev Lev and the Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Sasei Nun Zayin. We have the formulation of the Brachos, which establishes that A, there's an equivalency between Brios Tovos and Ilanos Tovos, they get the same bracha. And even when we're just Mevarech on the Ilanos and Chodesh Nisan, we can't help but mention how sustained we are by these Ilanos. I'd like to develop connection point number three, which is just one of the most beautiful Rambans that I know of. Okay, so let's have Ephraim will read the Psukim, and then let's take Yonatan Srego, we'll read the Ramban. And the God said, I have given to you all vegetation growing from seeds on all over the land. And all of the trees that have fruits of the trees, also from seeds, these you may eat. Okay? So this is what God said to people. U'lechol chayas ha'aretz. And so to all the beasts of the earth, and all to the fowl of the sky, and to all that crawls on the earth, that has a soul, which is living, they will eat the vegetation, and so it shall be. So the Ramban starts by quoting Rashi. Okay, go ahead, Yonatan, Srei. Go. Because she hasn't been called Chava yet. Shlomi, when is she called Chava?
Yeah, it's not equal sign. After she...
After the sin of the... Eitz Hadas. We'll come back to it. Nice job. Okay. Lohir shel Adam u le'ishto. That's all she was now, Rafi. Just the Isha. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Labriut. Lahamis beria v'lechol ba. So they weren't allowed to kill for their food. They all were vegetarians. Okay, this is all after the Mabul. Just like Adam could eat vegetation, so after the Mabul, he tarti lachem es kol lashon Rashi. The famous sheet of Rashi, everybody was a vegetarian, and then the Mabul came, and après vous déluge, they had the basar after the Mabul. Okay, very good. V'chein pirish arav masach Sanhedrin. This is Rashi sheet and the Gemara in Sanhedrin as well. Uchol chayas aretz. Right, so man and animal are basically equivalent as far as their diet were concerned. They were all vegetarians. V'im kach, yet perish as kol yerek esav lachwa
es
kol yerek esav. In other words, the trees and the vegetation. But the Ramban says, here he disagrees quite respectfully with Rashi, v'eino chein. But 'tis not thus. Anybody pick up what's the Ramban Shita? Tani? Big, huge chiddush of the Ramban. Thinks Rashi is completely wrong. But that prior to the sin, which brought about the Mabul, right? Go ahead, Yaakov.
Rashi thinks that
exactly. And Ramban says, absolutely not, but that human beings always had a different diet than animals, namely that human beings were the only ones that were able to eat fruit trees. Aval nasan la'adam li'ishto kol esav zorei zera v'chol pri eitz. That's exactly what the Chumash says. U'lechaya saratz lo v'shamayim nasan kol yerek esav. Only vegetables. Got to know your fruits and your vegetables. Okay? So, there's a Delraisa level implication of what's a fruit and what's a vegetable. Okay? Lo priya eitz v'lo azrayim. V'ein ma'achalam yachad kulam b'shaveh. Man and animal were never meant to be equal. The only thing that they shared was acha basar lo hirshu bo ad hupshuto shel mikra. And the Ramban is absolutely right about that, as the Ramban is always absolutely right about that. So in any event, so the idea is that human beings, who can point out, so the third level of connection, ki adam eitz hasadeh, is from the very beginning of humanity, trees were always associated with people, as opposed to all of the other forms of creation. And that which differentiated human beings from animals is that specifically human beings were allowed to eat from
trees.
Now, by the way, now what makes total sense? The whole sin of the Eitz Hadas. What is the Nachash saying to Chava? You guys are allowed to eat fruits from trees and we're not, right? But that shows that you're on a higher order of creation. But you also have been restricted. There's one fruit tree that you are not allowed to eat from. So it must be, just like eating from fruit trees in general distinguishes between levels of creation, that's what makes you people greater than us animals. If you'll eat from that last remaining fruit tree, then what's going to happen? V'yisem kelokim yodei tov v'ra. It's the final frontier. Otherwise, the story doesn't make any sense otherwise. But you're going to eat from a fruit tree, then all of a sudden you'll be like God. The Nachash wasn't a fool. How do I know the Nachash wasn't a fool? The Torah says he was Arum. He's actually very smart. So the Nachash was incredibly smart. And the Nachash says, yeah, the whole point is that you're allowed to eat the fruits of the trees, and we're not. And that demonstrates that you guys are on a different level of creation from us. So it must be that if God is telling you that there's one fruit tree that you're not allowed to eat from, it must be that that's because that's the key to becoming v'nifkechu einechem v'yisem kelokim yodei tov v'ra. So another special connection between animals, between human beings, rather, not animals, and, you know, ma'achalos peros ha'ilan, the ilanos tovos, as the bracha says, v'na'os kidei lehenos mehen bahen b'nei adam, we've always, humans uniquely, have benefited from the fruits of the tree, and I think that's part of the reason that when the Torah singled out, you know, destructive acts, it says, you know, rak eitz asher teda, asher lo eitz ma'achal hu. You have to first make sure that it's not one of those fruit trees that from the very beginning of your species' existence has sustained you. I think what we're appreciating is that the ke'ev lev that the Rambam discussed in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when you see a fruit tree being cut down, has very deep roots, because in a certain sense, it's that fruit tree. What's that?
I noticed the pun. Deep roots.
Thank you. We're getting there. The fact is that the fruit trees were always what made us stand out in the cosmos, and to see a fruit tree grow down is, of course, like having a piece of oneself taken away. So, yes, it's true. Fruit of a particular tree, the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, was our downfall collectively, but that's only because the Eitz Ma'achal has played such a significant and central role in defining humanity, or in the words of Sefer Tvarim, Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. The equation is a very powerful one indeed. And it's not an accident that Chazal, and you have this all over Tehillim, starting with Mizmor Aleph, you have it all over Nevi'im. When we want to talk about, you know, righteousness, when we want to talk about what it means to be a spiritual person in Oved Hashem, we always look to the tree as the metaphor. V'haya, Tehillim Mizmor Aleph. Ke'et shasol al palgemayim asher perio yitain vito, v'alehu lo yibol, v'chol asher yasa yatzliach, tzadik ka Tamar, Yifrach, Shesulim, Beves Hashem, Bechatros, Elokeinu, Yafrichu. There is no metaphor for Tzidkus like the metaphor of the tree. And I'd like to explore that as a fourth and final layer of connection between Ki Ha'adam, Eitz HaSadeh, and try to speak about that a little bit. Why both David HaMelech and Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and of course the Chumash itself, and Chazal, thought there was just so much to be gained from looking at the tree and the structure of the tree and what it means for us as Ovdei Hashem on this day, which of course is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, and hopefully now to tie it back into Chanata. Okay, so go ahead, Nachum. Why don't you do the honors? This is the Mishnah Maseches Avos, comment of Reb Lazar ben Azariah. Or Lemahu Dome. So somebody who's wisdom is in excess of his good deeds, to what or to whom may he be compared? No surprise there. Le'ilan, to a tree. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. So he has manifold branches, but a dearth of roots. So once the wind cometh, ve'okarto, and it will uproot him, ve'hofachto al panav, and it will invert him on his face. In other words, he will be toppled over. Shene'emar, ve'haya ke'ar arba arva, he will be like a barren tree in a barren space. Ve'lo yira ki yavo tov, he will not see good that comes. Ve'shachan charerim ba'midbar eretz melecha ve'lo teshev, he will be in a fruitless desert wasteland, uninhabited. Aval.
Aval kol shenasa v'rubim
When a person is deeply rooted, kol shemasav merubim mechachmaso, his piety, his commitment is even greater than his knowledge. L'mahu dome? Shene'emar. Alehu ra'anan. In times of droughts, he will not worry. Velo yamish me asos peri. He will always reliably produce fruit. That is to say, here the metaphor is a person who has a strong religious core. He is shorasha of merubin. So, no matter which winds come and blow, and you know the winds of society are always blowing in one direction or the other, and always encouraging ideas, some of which are valuable, many of which are not, that are contrary to Torah values. So a person who has ma'asim tovim, which is really the Mishnah's way of saying a strong spiritual core, so his rootedness will be such that afilu kol aruchos sheba'olam ba'in ein mazizinoso. He's like an anchor. He's a pillar of strength. Velo yamish me'asos peri. And he will always bring forth the fruits that we're looking for. So, you know, Chazal, in their appreciation, and again, it's all based on Psukim, which make this comparison of Adam Eitz HaSadeh, understood that the structure of the tree, the idea that it had to be literally rooted in the ground and nurturing and constantly taking in sustenance from the ground itself, but then in such a beautiful way with all of that infrastructure under the surface, then over the surface, one sees all the beautiful foliage and the branches, and then, of course, v'l'yamish me'asos peri, these fruits that the tree is capable of producing. And therein lies the metaphor for our lives as Ovdei Hashem, which is to say that there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it underneath the surface, none of which is meant to be pretty and none of which should be pretty. But the result of all of that hard work that you put in towards shaping yourself and forming and fashioning a religious core, 99.9% of which should be done in private, very often has the result of creating beautiful, visible anafim over the surface, and especially peirot, lehenot mihem b'nei adam, that can serve as an inspiration and as a true source of benefit for the rest of society. And thus, you know, that pasuk that I alluded to before, Shtulim beveit Hashem, that if we're rooted in the house of Hashem, bechatzros Elokeinu yafrichu, we can blossom very much, bechatzros Elokeinu, in the courtyards, that is to say, in the broader spaces. And I think, getting back to where we started, that's really what Basar Chanata is all about. On Tu Bishvat, if that's the cutoff for how we measure the financial year of the tree, that's really what it is. It's a financial thing. It's taking Meiser. The pre doesn't have to be there yet. When we see that Chanata, we see the first blossom, we understand that this is part of a tahalich, it's part of a process that will lead to the peros being there. And so, yeah, it may take another month for the actual pre to grow, or another 6 weeks, or however long it's going to take, but the bottom line is that the pre is just the totza'ah, it's just the result. What really matters is, you know, where it came from, is the chanata, is the first blossom, and that's really that becomes the chalos in terms of meiser peros. But it also, in this Mishnah Avos, as we're describing, the pre is only the product of having very deep shorashim, a very deep sense of rootedness. And so in that respect, I would say the halacha and the hashkafa represent exactly the same point of view, which is just as a tree is only as strong as its roots, so too, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, we have to be very mindful and very focused on our own core development, which takes a while and can't be rushed, and hopefully then, velo yamish me'asos peri, a person who spends a lot of time working on the fundamentals, will eventually be able to bring forth very beautiful peirot, and I mean peirot in every sense of the term, both in with respect to learning itself and the kind of the kind of religious personality that other people look to for strength. It's not an accident or just a figure of speech when the Gemara wants to say that you know, you need a gadol to pask in a certain shaila, or that he was relying on a gadol. What expression does the Gemara use? Tali? Shlomi? Tali be? Ashle Rav Rafe, which Rashi always says is Ilan Gadol, that he was tola on an Ilan Gadol, on a great tree. Right? It's exactly this metaphor that a person of spiritual greatness is likened to a tree, you know, in terms of the protection that they provide, the peros that they give off. Just one final point, I hope, you know, probably should have put it on the Makoros, but it's a favorite Gemara of mine. You probably heard it from me in the past. The Gemara Masechta Tainus and Daf Chaf Gimel, which is just one final layer to this discussion on Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanot about Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. They're familiar with the story of Masechta Tainus of Choni Hamagil. Choni Hamagil got his name because he drew the circle and wouldn't leave till God made it rain. But Choni Hamagel also experienced a very unusual. Anybody know what happened to Choni Hamagel?
Well, he saw he was walking by and he saw a guy planting a carob tree. And said, "Why are you planting it?" And he said, "So that my grandson said can use it." And then he was like, "I don't understand that." And then he fell asleep. And then he woke up and he saw the same guy.
It wasn't the same guy. It was
the guy's grandson.
Yeah, it was like his great grandson. It was 70 years later, and he saw him, you know, enjoying the carob tree. And the line in the Gemara is, you know, the gentleman said to him, "Kishem sheshatli li avhasi kach eshatel liveroi," that just as my forefathers planted for me, so too I will plant for future generations. And so ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh, maybe the fifth and final layer of this connection that I wanted to leave you guys with in terms of your contemplation of Rosh Hashanah Lilanot, is the following idea, is that your actions not only impact your own development, as I like to call it, you know, deepening and widening your shorashim so that you'll have more anafim with greater peirot, all that is true, but your actions also have an impact for future generations, right? If you think about that. Person chooses, let's just give a very apropos example for Tu B'Shvat, after all, you know, Trumos and Maisros Doraisa in Eretz Yisrael, person chooses to Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the full sense of the term, and after all, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvah, says the Sifrei, so that has a profound impact on future generations, right? You can't guarantee that at some point your kids or grandkids might pick up and leave, but you know, if you're an actuary, statistically speaking, you know, moving to Israel is you know, by far the most likely way of ensuring that your grandchildren actually live in Israel. Everything that you do in terms of mitzvos, in terms of learning, has a profound impact on future generations. So I'm not encouraging you to be megalomaniacs, but I am encouraging you to, you know, contemplate the idea of kishem Sheshatli liv avhasi kach eshatel livrai. That's the way trees work. We have trees because somebody cared enough about our future and our existence to take care of us. So, you know, that goes for planting trees themselves, which of course is a beautiful mitzvah. Hashem vayita Hashem elokim gan be'eden b'kedem. Kadosh Baruch Hu planted trees, and as the Medrash says, we should plant trees as well. But more than just planting trees, everything that you do plants a seed for a future generation. And, you know, you experience that most directly with your own progeny, meaning children, etc. But it has an impact for many, many generations to come. And so as you contemplate your decisions, and we spoke about this a little bit earlier in the week, just bear in mind that the implications, of course, can be felt for many generations hence, and that's also part of the message of the tree, especially that Gemara in Tainus with Choni Hamagel, Kishem Sheshatli Liavhasi Kach Eshasol Livirai, that we all have a responsibility to propagate forward all of the wonderful things that we inherited in this earth, and I think it maintains spiritually as well. So hopefully this is some perspectives on this beautiful but somewhat enigmatic words in the Torah, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. We know, as the Rambam says, that the loss of a tree causes a ke'ev lev. We know, based on the Ramban in Parshas Brachos, that human beings and trees have always had a special responsibility, a special connection with each other. We know from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that the tree becomes the metaphor for profound religious growth. We know, based on the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the change from the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam says that the only way that you're over Baal Tashchis Doraisa with Malkos Doraisa is the Eitz Machal, that stands alone. And we also know from the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that it's not really about the peros are just the result, but what makes all the difference is the chanata, is the first blossoms, and then we trust that the peros will come. So never be afraid of taking your time to work on the shorashim, and have a good faith that if you spend the time investing in your religious core, then lo yamish me'asos peri, that in their own good time, yafed davar bi'ito lakolzman va'es, that the peros will come. If you invest in your shorashim, afilu kol arucho sheba olam ba'os, einan mezizin oso, they will not be able to set you off course.